Welcome to the American Slang Podcast, where we will explore language and culture in different regions of the United States. Slang is a type of informal language that's typically spoken in a certain area or by a group of people. Culture is dynamic, language is dynamic, and in this podcast, we will explore the connections between them and the way new words and expressions emerge in different places in America. Welcome to podcast episode 13. This is Anne, your host, and today I am bringing on a featured guest who has been with us for other episodes, like episode 2, West Coast Slang, episode 4, Internet Slang, and I also interviewed her on my YouTube channel about Harry Potter. Her name is Helen, and she is an amazing guest. She's going to be talking about three of her top hobbies and a little bit about American culture and lifestyle as well. You'll also learn some idioms related to these hobbies that we will discuss at the end of our conversation. I think you're going to love this episode. Thank you for joining us. And without further ado, let's get started.
Cool. Okay. Welcome, Helen. It's so nice to have you back on the podcast. Everyone has raves about the episodes that you were on, the previous episodes. So this will be a fun conversation. And we're talking today about Helen's hobbies. And I know that you have a really unique hobby that we can just start with, which is crocheting, right? Crochet. And I want to kind of talk to you about the process, like how you learn to crochet and what colors you use and things like that, what you make.
Definitely. Well, I just learned how to crochet in 2021. So it hasn't been very long. Oh. But I really dove into it. I was watching a show with a friend, and there was a woman who was like, I was like, oh, she's knitting something. I want to learn how to knit. And my best friend was like, she's actually crocheting, and I know how to do that, and I can teach you.
Really?
So yeah, I learned from my best friend how to do it, and it's different from knitting. Knitting is using two needles, and you have to kind of keep the work that you're doing either on one of the needles or on kind of like a long loop that attaches to the needles.
Oh,
and then crochet is done with just a hook.
Oh.
And then you just hold your work and use the hook to make kind of like knots in the in the yarn.
That sounds easier than knitting.
Yeah, I feel like it's harder to learn how to crochet, but then it's easier to do than knitting.
Yeah, because if you only have to hold one needle, it might be easier than two needles. But yeah, I'm sure it's a process.
Yeah, it's there are some definite benefits. I like that if you mess up knitting, like it can be quite a nightmare. You can have a bunch of knots. It can be really tedious to try to untangle. But with crochet, for the most part, if you mess up, you can just pull on the string and it will come apart.
Oh, that is easier too.
And that's what they call frogging your work.
Oh, to frog your work. So you would kind of go back a few crochets and then a few knots, I guess, right? Is that what you're calling?
I mean, you can pull apart the entire thing. Like if you have a blanket that's crocheted and you have the end of it, you can pull apart the entire blanket and it will just be a single strand of yarn. And if it's done that way, so.
Yeah. And do you feel like it's therapeutic? Like it helps you just stay calm and relax, and you could do it anywhere. You could take your crochet set on the train with you, or like, is it something that you do to get your mind off work?
Yeah, I was noticing in 2020, I was feeling quite anxious.
As we all were.
There were some global things happening. There were some American things that were happening. It was an election year. There was a lot of stuff going on, very stressful. And I found that in early 2021, I was still really feeling that anxiety and just felt like I needed to be distracted. Like I felt like I was watching TV, but I still had to be like on my phone. And I was like, I don't want to be doing all of this. I want to have something, some way to kind of get this out. So crochet was really good in that way for me. I was able to pick it up and really kind of channel some of that nervous energy into it. And yeah, I do it when I'm watching TV or I listen to audiobooks and crochet. I commute to work on the train, and my commute is like on the train, it's like an hour each way. And so I listen to an audiobook and crochet on the train if my work is not too big. But
That sounds
yeah.
really relaxing.
Yeah.
Now, I know that I would normally associate crocheting with the older generation, like some things that grandmothers crochet or something. So it's kind of surprising that you do it. But I've also heard that it's trending. Like it's something that's very popular. Like it wouldn't be odd to see someone crocheting on the train, right? You've seen other people doing it too.
I've never seen anybody else on the train. I mean, I've maybe seen a couple people like knitting something really small, but yeah, I think that like I know a number of folks who are millennials who are crocheting, and yeah, I think that a lot of at least the people that I know had a family member, had a grandma or somebody teach them how to crochet, and that was like a bonding thing between them. And so that's why they know how to do it, and it's just kind of stuck with them. So
Yeah, that's really cool. And do you make did you have any cool projects? Like you made a sweater or something and you gave it to someone and it was like really gratifying, or did a project go really wrong and then you thought you had
was
to
pretty
start from
funny.
over?
The first project I did, I didn't really know how to make a square, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger into this like weird triangle monstrosity. And I kept it just to be able to see, this is where I started, and now I get to do cool stuff. But yeah, I've made a lot of things. I like to do blankets because it's like a long project, but it's also the patterns can be complex, but you can kind of like get into the flow of it. Whereas if you're making something that really has a shape to it, the patterns can be really comp you have to pay really close attention, and so it's not as mindless. It's not something that you can easily follow on the train or something like that.
So you would have to be really exact and calculate the numbers and really kind of almost mathematical about it.
Yeah, you have to do a lot of counting, and like the more stuff that's going on, the more kind of engaged you have to be, especially as you're figuring out the pattern. But I've made a few blankets. I just made a blanket for my grandma, and she really liked it a lot.
Wow, that's
And
really cool. Like the younger generation crocheting a blanket for the older generation. Reversing the roles here. I love it. That's
And
so sweet.
yeah, I'm working on one right now for Ray, my partner, and
Wow.
for his birthday.
Is it a surprise or?
No, he's, I mean, I'm working on it at home all
Oh, okay.
the
And how do you select the colors for those projects?
time. Sometimes a pattern will have a color, like it'll suggest a color or like a type of yarn. But for this one, I just asked him what he wanted. I told him I wanted to make him a blanket and asked, based on the blankets that I've made that he's seen in the past, like what kind of blanket did he want? And he kind of said something, because I've made some really like lacy things that have like a lot of holes in them, and he was like, I want something that's like closer knit so that it's warm.
Yeah, true.
So and then he said he wanted green, so I actually have it right here. I can show you. Sorry for the listeners who can't see it, but
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
it's
That is so impressive. It's
yeah.
gorgeous.
Thanks.
That looks like a really wonderful sweater too that you could wear. Sweaters would be really hard, probably. Blankets would probably be easier.
I tried to do a sweater and I got really frustrated. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do scarves and blankets for now until I get
Yeah,
bored of that.
that's true. That's true. Oh, the color is gorgeous. It's like a green. It's like a moss green color. Yeah. Do you mind if people watch you, or do you like watch you crochet? No.
Well, obviously not if I do it on the train.
I
Just be like, don't look at me.
yeah, because there's an expression that we were talking about that's like, okay, mind your own business is like just, do like don't get involved in my stuff. So it would be so funny if you were sitting on the train and you were like, stick to your own knitting or something. Yeah, so this phrase, stick to one's knitting, really means mind your own business, right?
Yeah, it's like something that you can say to somebody else to tell them to mind their own business, like stick to your need to your knitting. Or you can say it about yourself if, people are asking you to gossip or something, you can just say, I'm just sticking to my knitting here. Just
It's so sweet. I love it. It's so adorable. Is it something that's actually said often, or because it's not that common, is it? Or is it
No,
common?
I mean, I don't think that I've heard it super frequently, but
Yeah, but when you
it's,
hear it, you're like, that's adorable. I love it. It's so great. Because I know you have a lot of cool hobbies that you love that you or
yeah, I mean, I like to be outside a lot. I like to go for hikes. I live really close to a beautiful park with a lot of trails.
Oh, that sounds
And
so nice. You could take your crochet with you. Or no. You probably don't
I
take your
might trip.
crocheting hiking with you, right?
I feel like it's more of a sitting activity.
Yes.
So that's what I do when I get home from hiking.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I like to, I just started playing Dungeons and Dragons
What is
with
that?
some
Is that
friends, and
like an
that's
old
been.
school video game, or are you playing the new one?
It's actually not a video game. It's like a tabletop, like a role-playing game.
Oh my gosh,
And it was
really?
something that was that kids were doing. It came out in like the 80s,
Yeah.
and it was like only like really nerdy kids did it.
Yeah.
And there was all this like, parents were not happy about it because they thought it was like giving kids bad ideas and having them, practice witchcraft or whatever. And but
Yeah.
it's just basically like, you choose, you create your own character, and then you kind of go through this game. It's a lot of like improvisation. Just like the person who kind of facilitates the group either creates a story or uses a story that's been created, and then kind of carries the other players through the story with their characters.
Yeah.
And they'll say something like, you come across a centaur. Like, what do you say to it? And so then you'll kind of say what your character would do. And then a lot of times there's like all these dice that you use to kind of determine the outcomes of what you say that you want to do. So there's also a lot of math involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been really fun, and it's something that I didn't start doing until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And but I just started playing with a couple friends, and that's been really cute.
That sounds great. I have to make a confession here. So my partner, Bernardo, is obsessed with these kinds of games, these kinds of role-play games. So we also play them. And we play them like, yeah, we have a number of them, not Dungeons and Dragons, but it's like you choose a character, like a warrior character, and it's like a little plastic,
Like
movable
a miniature.
piece, a miniature, exactly. And you move it around the board, you roll these, there's very complicated dice to roll, and they go on these adventures, and it's really kind of fun, but it does take a long time to play these games, like hours. Like you could probably be playing them for hours.
Easily, yeah. And a lot
Yeah.
of times people will do like a long-term game where they'll meet for, I don't know, maybe like 3 hours every week or every other week or something like that. And they call it a campaign. And
Ooh.
I mean, you could potentially play a campaign forever if you wanted to, because
Yeah.
you can just the facilitator is called the Dungeon Master. And they can just keep making stuff up if they want to,
Yeah. Like it's very creative, and also you're in the moment with the people you're playing with. So I think it's kind of like you're using a lot of interesting It's fun. It's a fun thing to play. Yeah,
Yeah, and
it's.
I think it can be interesting, like creating a character that's really different from who you are.
Ah,
And
true.
then you're if you play through like what you think that they would do, given the backstory that you've created for them, I think it can be kind of like a way to like build empathy for people. And yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that it's so like retro, like from the, for something so old from the past, you would think that you would be really into video games, or playing them on the screen, but I think it's really interesting that you're into these board games.
Yeah, well, I also like video games.
That's true, that's true. But it's something that you could, for example, reach out to other members of your community or your neighborhood, or and play with other people, or just friends, just close friends, would you call over to play, or just your
You can,
partner?
I mean, you can play with people who you don't know that you would, it's kind of getting it started is kind of a process because you have to find somebody who's willing to be the dungeon master, and then
Yeah.
you have to kind of like figure out what level everybody is going to be, and then
Right.
everyone has to create their character for the scene. And so it's not like, it wouldn't be easy for like six strangers to just like meet up somewhere and then have this game. There is a lot of prep, but six strangers could definitely be like, we want to do this. Let's figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, because when Bernaldo starts a game, he'll read the instructions and take like an hour just to read the instructions. And it's like this really long prep process to start playing, which
Yeah.
surprised me. Yeah.
I've never been a dungeon master. I don't know that I have the patience and
Yeah.
the the wherewithal to do all of that, because it is so much work on the back end of things. But then you're not really. You are kind of playing, but you're not like playing a character.
But it's
But
really engaging. It's really fun. It's a great way to distract yourself from the day-to-day reality. It's like kind of a fantasy world,
yeah.
And then you
So my friends and I will have like a little, we'll do like a little potluck, and everyone will bring something to eat that we made, and then we'll just sit around the table for hours and eat and play and laugh and
Yeah, that is such a fun thing to do. I was actually teaching, oh, I was teaching a class about potlucks the other day because it's kind of an American phenomenon. This idea of like everyone bringing a dish, sharing it, and how people like to maybe share dishes from their culture or dishes from their family members. But that usually people would bring like a homemade dish, right?
Yeah.
So I think potlucks are so fun. It's like informal,
Definitely.
But like where I live in Spain, people don't do them because they're seen as too informal.
Okay.
And people like really formal dinners and things like that
Yeah,
Yeah.
we do a lot of very informal types of
Yes,
dinners.
exactly. Was there a third hobby you wanted to mention? I can't remember.
I mean, I like to do a lot of, I like to read. That's something that I've been
Yeah.
doing a lot of. I just finished a book right before we
Oh, cool. Congratulations. A novel?
Thanks. Yeah, it was Dune. I had never read it before.
Wow. Yeah. Did you like it?
I loved it. Yeah, it was fun.
Really? You recommend it?
Not to everybody, but if you like sci-fi, then yes.
Yes. That book is everyone's talking about that book.
Yeah, because there's like a new movie that's coming out.
Yeah. So I haven't read it. I think I should, but it's thick. It's a thick book.
Yeah, I think it's not for everybody. There's a lot of world building in it. I think that, with sci-fi and or fantasy, it can some people really like when you don't know what anything is. You don't know what the planet's called, you don't know what the animals are called, you don't know what the people are like. You're learning all of that stuff as you're reading. Some people are like, that's too much for me to do. I just want to learn like what people are doing, like what's the interesting plot line that's happening, So if you're the second type of person, then you wouldn't like it.
When you've read the first chapter, were you already just into it? Yeah, it's like a page turner. There's suspense in the book, right?
Definitely suspense, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
lot of action.
Okay. Yeah, that's great that you like to read so avidly as a pastime. There's some idioms that I wanted to talk about related to the topic of, blankets, crocheting, knitting, and so forth. So, for example, like blankets, a wet blanket. It's someone who
Yeah.
discourages, like someone who discourages enjoyment or enthusiasm. So, if let's say you had like you were celebrating getting a new job or something, and someone didn't really congratulate you or something, there would be like a wet blanket kind of.
Yeah, or like someone who's like so much of a rule follower that they're not willing to do something that's fun,
Yeah.
someone that's kind of like a bummer or boring.
Yeah, like it, even if there's a party or something and they kind of like ruin the party, they're just not having any fun. They're like a wet blanket. Yeah, so that's kind of a funny, it's kind of a funny image in your mind as well, right? This wet blanket, this uncomfortably wet blanket kind of ruining the vibe. Yeah, socks. I don't know if you like knock your socks off. Because I know you, first of all, have you ever crocheted socks?
I have not. That takes a lot of work.
Oh yeah, I bet. Because you have to do all the corners and the rounds.
And you usually have to use this tiny little yarn. So it's just like
Yeah.
all of these stitches. Yeah.
Sounds really stressful. Well, there's an idiom, knock your socks off, like when something really impresses you. Yeah, would you say this ever, or do you think it's too uncommon?
I
Wow,
don't
like
think it's
that.
uncommon. I definitely hear people say it.
Oh, you do? Okay. Like it would be like a game. Like if you go see a great football game or something, you'd be like, wow, that really knocked my socks off. Or a good movie or something. What do you think? When would you say it?
I've definitely heard people say it. I feel like it's people who are older than me who say it. But I definitely hear it like fairly regularly. But it just means like something, another idiom that is means the same thing as like it totally blew my mind.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
it
It
was
totally
like,
blew my mind. Yeah.
yeah, it was so cool or so amazing or like so shocking.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, what about throw in the towel? So, like if you throw in the towel, you kind of give up on something, right? If you're
Yeah, I
not
don't know
really into
where.
something anymore.
Yeah, no, I definitely, that's one that I do hear regularly. I'm curious about where it comes from. That's because it's just such an interesting visual. But yeah, it just means to give up. Usually something that you've been like working really hard at and it's just too much, and so you're just gonna give up. A funny thing that happened, my aunt got two idioms mixed up with each other.
Oh, she
She
did.
was trying to say, I want to throw up my hands, like, which means kind of the same thing. Like, I want to, like throwing up your hands and surrender, like, oh, I give up.
Yes.
And then she accidentally mixed that up with this one, throw in the towel. And she was like, I just want to throw up the towel. And that
Which would mean like
sounded like
vomit the
she
towel, actually, to vomit
exactly.
the towel. And then everyone probably started laughing so hard about that,
And so we say that all the time now.
right? You've invented a new idiom, throw up the towel,
Yeah.
which probably means a combination of the two things. So we get these funny inside jokes in the families, right? That we just start like you invent new language and then everyone understands it, but no one else outside of the family gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true all over the world.
I know, that's really true. Exactly. Okay, I'm interested in this one, hook, line, and sinker. Okay, when would you use that?
That means like if somebody believed a story.
Oh
And I
yeah.
think it comes from like fishing or something, but I think it's like referring to like a fish hook getting a fish and then pulling it
Oh
up, like
yes.
it's like you believed a story, you believed a line, like hook, line, and sinker.
Or
Yeah, like somebody believes a lie.
Another one is like to pull the wool over someone's eyes. So this is like pulling the wool over someone's eyes was really being like you are trying to get away with something, doing something deceptive again, and you're sh trying to hide it right from them. Is
Yeah,
that kind
trying
of
to
how?
like cover their vision from seeing something that you're doing or somebody else is doing. Yeah.
You would just pull the wool over their eyes and hide something, right? And
Yeah, or you could say that somebody else, like, you know, somebody is attempting to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes. You know, like if somebody's attempting to deceive somebody else, that could be a thing to say about it.
Yes, for sure. That's really interesting. Another one could be, for example, f in the flow. This is just the, I was thinking about this in terms of doing the crochet. Like if you feel like you're in a state of flow, in the zone, if you're kind of like chilling out, relaxing, and if it's it, do you feel like you kind of get in a flow state from the crocheting?
Definitely. Yeah, I'll be crocheting and then I'll look at the clock and then put my like look down at my crochet again and then look back up at the clock and it's like 3 hours have passed. I'm like, what just
Whoa,
happened?
time flies when you're crocheting. You're
Yeah.
like in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I've learned so much about crochet and about Dungeons and Dragons. Interesting hobbies, interesting pastimes that you've shared with the listeners. And I think that a lot of people probably relate to what you're saying. In our
Awesome.
digital world that's so driven by technology, I think it's important to have hobbies that get you away from that, which is sounds it sounds like what you're what you have.
Definitely.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's amazing.
I work at my laptop all day and I need a break. I need to be able to do stuff that is not connected to tech.
Yeah, and also using your hands and also socializing, because the Dungeons and Dragons game is so social.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest hobby is just being like I spend so much time with my community. So
Yeah, conversations, laughter, all of those great things about face-to-face friendships. Well, thank you so much, Helen, for joining me again on the podcast. If you love this one, stay tuned for future episodes.